Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Man, we've been in a series entitled Stories, and for the last 11 weeks now, we've been looking at a different story, somebody in our church, and it's been incredible to see what God is doing, what God's done in your lives, and we got one more planned for next week. You don't want to miss it. But as we continue our story series today, this is what I want you to turn in your Bibles if you have them, or if you have the digital one, point and click. But I want to go to, we need to dismiss all the junior hires. All the junior hires are free to go to their class. They're staring at me like, let us go, let us go. And so we have a great class for all the junior hires. We're going to go to a Old Testament book, 1 Kings, and we're going to look at two different chapters as we continue our story series. And then next week, come on, Father's Day, am I right? Father's Day's next week, come on. And so dads, be here, set an example for your family and your children and your wife, and come to church next week. And we got something special planned, but we're going to conclude our story series next week. With a great message, another great testimony. But as we've been looking at the story series, here's what we've come to realize here at Canvas Church is that our stories really do look similar to a lot of stories in Scripture. Context might be a little bit different, but the way it plays out is very similar. And that is this, is our stories have a starting point. There's that moment where, man, things begin. It's the creation moment of our story. And obviously there's different stories throughout the course of our life. But it seems like this, just like the stories in the Bible, there comes a moment of destruction, a moment of pain, a moment of disappointment, a moment where the story begins to take a twist, right? The plot twist, that something happens and man, it doesn't look so good. But as we push through those moments, here's what we discover, that when Jesus Christ is in the story, come on, he redeems the story and he restores the story and makes it brand new. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been looking at stories in Scripture and seeing how closely they relate to our life. And we're going to look at another one of those today. And really my goal today is that you would be able to walk away being content no matter what season of your story you're in. That you would find this place of contentment. Matter of fact, one of the great writers of the New Testament, his name is Paul, and he's known as the Apostle Paul, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had some stuff to say, and it was really good. And he actually had some things to say about contentment and being content. And I want to read it to you here before we jump to 1 Kings. And it says this in Philippians 4, starting in verse 11. It says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in." Okay? Now, I want you to notice this, that he came to a place of being content. That is a great place to come to. And he says, no matter what circumstances I'm in, no matter what I find myself, I'm going to read the rest in just a moment, but he's learned this thing called contentment. The other thing I want you to notice, though, is the thing that he said, I learned to be content. In other words, it didn't just come natural. It wasn't like he just went through life and I'm just content with everything, right? I'm just happy in every situation. No, he had to learn. Now, the way Paul learned is much like your pastor learns, and that's by trial and error. Come on, somebody, right? That's by going through some stuff and then maybe doing some things, saying some things, and then learning through that, saying, man, I've learned to be content, or I've learned this lesson. Now, there is another way to learn, okay? And that is by learning from somebody else's mistakes, right? And that's why we have the Bible. Come on, somebody. Because it's full of people that made mistakes, trial and error, so that you don't have to, all right? How many guys are out there like your pastor, though, and you learn just by trial and error? You just go through it and you learn, all right? How many guys learn by looking at somebody else's mistakes? How many guys just don't learn? All right, that's called hard-headed, but whatever. You'd think I would have learned by example because I had 3 older brothers, but oh no. I just had to walk my path and walk out what my journey looked like. But we're going to see here today this guy that he had to learn, or he had to come back to this realization. Listen to what the rest of this verse says that the Apostle Paul said. It says, I've learned that in whatever circumstance I'm in, to be content. Verse 12, I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. He's talking about financial means. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. How many guys want to know what that secret is? Awesome. Come back next week. No, I'm just kidding. He's learned the secret of being content. Let's read on. He's learned this secret now. Whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry, whether I'm in abundance or whether I have need, I am able, listen to it now, to do all things through him. That's Christ Jesus who strengthens me. In other words, the way he's learned to be content in every circumstance, in every situation, is by focusing in on Jesus. OK, Okay, and that's a great place to focus. But we're going to see a story today in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 18 and 19, about a prophet named Elijah. Now, what is a prophet? Pastor Matt Keller was here last week. How many of you guys enjoyed that message? You were here. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, go download our app, our Canvas Church app, and you can catch all the episodes right there. But he talked a little bit about another prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is simply a guy that hears from God and delivers the message from God. Okay, and so we're going to hear about a prophet named Elijah, and we're going to see him really at the pinnacle of his ministry. Man, he can't get any higher. Man, he has come to the highest place, and you're going to see as we read the story that he's come so high that he's really content there. I mean, how many of you guys know that it's easy to be content in the mountaintop experiences of your life? But we're going to read on. As we read through the story, what we're going to discover is that when he gets out of that mountaintop experience, he actually gets disappointed, discouraged, and has fear on his life. And why? Because he's no longer content in that circumstance or that season of his life. We're going to see this. When we pick it up in the story, here's what's taking place. A nation is at odds with each other because there's the mixture of a god called Baal, and these people worship this other god called Baal, and they would offer sacrifices to him. But then there is another segment of people that are still loyal to God, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were serving him. And so now what's happening is there's literally like a showdown. It's like the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls, and it's a showdown, man. So all of these guys come from the Baal side, and yet only one, Elijah, comes from God's side. And now we pick it up in the story. There's this big showdown going on. We're going to pick it up, 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 20. I just got to get there in my Bible. 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 20, it says, "So Ahab summoned all the Israelites and gathered the prophets at Mount Carmel." That's the prophets from Baal's side and then Elijah from God's side. "Then Elijah approached all the people and said, 'How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the prophet didn't answer the word." Or the people didn't answer the word. "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I am the only one remaining, the only prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. They are to choose one bull for themselves, cut it up into pieces, and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. I will prepare the other bull and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers with fire. He is God.' All the people answered, 'That sounds good.' Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Since you are so numerous, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first. Then call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire.' So they took the bull that he had gave them, prepared it, called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'Baal, answer us.' But there was no sound. No one answered. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made." Now, I don't know why it says danced and hobbled. That's weird, but okay. Maybe they danced like your pastor. I don't know. It looks like a hobble. But here they are dancing and hobbling around. Verse 27. "And at noon, Elijah mocked them. He said, 'Shout loudly, for he's a god. Maybe he's thinking it over.'" Isn't the Bible great? Now, this just goes to show, like, where Elijah's at, where his mindset's at. Like, this is awesome. He starts, I don't know if this was a part of God's plan, probably never really is, but now Elijah's actually mocking them, making fun of them. He's like rubbing it in their face. He's like, "Hey guys, maybe you need to shout a little louder. Maybe he's thinking it over. Maybe he has wandered away. Or maybe he's on the road." The exact translation is, "Or maybe he's on vacation." It's true. "Hey, you know what, guys? Maybe we'll try this another day. He might be on vacation. Perhaps he's sleeping and will wake up." They shouted loudly and cut themselves with knives and spears according to their custom. That's a weird custom. "Till blood gushed over them. All afternoon they kept on raving until the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no sound. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near me.' So all the people approached him. Then he repaired the Lord's altar that had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob or Israel, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel will be your name.' and he built the altar with the stones in the name of Yahweh. Then he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 4 gallons. Next, he arranged the wood, cut up the bull, placed it on the wood. He said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the offering to be burned and on the wood. Then he said, a second time. And they did it a second time. And then he said, a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. He even filled the trench with water. Are you hearing this? Okay. It was bad enough that he was actually taunting the guys, like, hey, maybe your God fell asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. But now look at him. He's like, hey, guys, everybody gather around. Come on in. Come on in close. Close now. You're going to want to see this. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to build this thing, but remember that we are going to get a fire hose and we are going to douse this thing, right? A little cocky, a little arrogant, right? Now, let's be honest, okay? The Bible says in the New Testament, the book of James, that Elijah, the guy that we're talking about right now, he was a man with a nature just like ours, okay? And so that tells me this, that I can kind of put myself in this story for a moment, right? Because if his nature was like mine, I know what my nature is. If their God ain't answering, I'm getting a little cocky. I'm getting a little arrogant. Right? And then I'm going to rub it in their face when it comes to my turn. Let's put some, you know, the kindling's not enough. That's okay. He could do that, but let's dump water all over it. Right? This is the game plan. Where are we at? Verse 36. And at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached the altar and said, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He probably paused for effect. Hand up. Today, right? I would have done it. Today, let it be known that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant. He just had to throw that in there, right? You're God of Israel, and I'm your servant. And at your word, I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Yahweh, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Then Yahweh's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell down on their faces and said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. We always knew it, right? That's what I'm doing, right? I never doubted, right? And you know what happens next? What happens next is Elijah now riding on this high moment. He's like, hey, gather all the prophets that serve the other God. We're going to kill them. They take them all out. People are like, yeah, we always believed. We always believed. You're the man. Praise Jesus, right? Okay, let's pick it up now in the next chapter. Chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them. In other words, like one of the prophets. By this time tomorrow. Then Elijah became afraid. The same guy that just moments before was taunting all the prophets. The same guy that was like, that's not enough water. Let's do it a second time. No, a little more. Third time, please. Matter of fact, we need some more in the trench right here. That same guy that when God showed up with fire, he's like, kill all the prophets. Right? Now, what does it say? He is afraid. He's afraid. And so immediately he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there, but he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He literally did that. My life's over. I don't want to be here anymore. I might die. He said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. That is not a prayer you want to pray. But this is where he's at. Mountaintop. Lowest place. You got to be in the lowest place ever to pray that prayer. For I'm no better than my fathers. Then he laid down and slept under the broom tree. Now go with me to verse 9. Kind of in the middle of verse 9 there it says, Then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountains in the Lord's presence." So God said to him. And at that moment, listen to what it says. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. Certainly this is him, because just a chapter before, he showed up with fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Already asked you once, what are you doing here? He tells the same story. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts," he replied, "but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone, I'm the only one left, and they're looking for me to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return by the way you came in the wilderness of Damascus." Are you reading the same story I'm reading? "This is what happened to me, God." And God's like, "Hey, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to return." No sympathy, God. No empathy. What kind of a God are you? "Go and return the way you came, the wilderness, Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael, the king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, the king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from that place, as prophet in your place." Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? God just replaced him. "Then Jehiel will put to death whoever escapes the sword, and Hazael and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu." Now listen to this, verse 18. "But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." What did he just say? "Hey, Elijah, I know you feel like you're the only one, but I got 7,000 more just like you." All right? Get over it. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, God, you would just speak to us, speak clearly. God, I pray for those that walked in today, Lord, feeling like they are in this moment of their story that there's just a disconnect. God, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. They're discouraged. They're disappointed. Lord, I pray that today we would learn what Paul learned. We would learn to be content in every season that we're in. God, whether it's the mountaintop experience, or God, whether it's just in our present moment, in our present circumstances, we would learn to be content in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I've learned to become content. It wasn't something that's come natural to me. And let me just say this, I'm still learning, right? I'm still in the process of learning to be content. What Paul says here, I've learned to be content in every circumstance, situation. I haven't fully learned that yet. And I don't know that the prophet Elijah, here is this man, one of the most phenomenal prophets of all time. Man, I don't know that he's fully learned the lesson of being content. And if you were to rewind in his story, man, you would see, man, some of the really awesome things he's done throughout his life. But now we find him both within two chapters. We find him at the highest point, and we find him at the lowest point. In one, man, we see that he's content because it's easy to celebrate in the mountaintop experiences. It's easy to become a little bit, you know, maybe arrogant, cocky in the mountain, like, look what God's done, man. Look, this is awesome, and he's fire. Let's kill all these people, right? And then to come to this other place where now you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you're running for your life. How do you find contentment? How do you learn to be content in those moments? I've had to learn this. I'll tell you the way that we learn it. One of the ways we learn it is by being in church. One of the ways we learn it is by being around other believers. One of the ways we learn it is by other people's experiences and watching what happened with them. But you know what? God is one of the most phenomenal coaches of all time. because he allows us to walk through scenarios and circumstances and situations in our life that literally begin to prepare us and begin to lead us to the mountaintop experiences, but also begin to prepare us when we're not in those mountaintop experiences to be content. Because here's the thing, no matter what season you find yourself in, God is working in your life. Whether you are at the beginning of a beautiful story, whether you're in that moment of disappointment, discouragement, despair, and it feels like a destruction moment of your story, guess what? God's still there. Whether it's that moment where Jesus Christ is coming in and just redeeming something and restoring it, making it brand new and making it beautiful again, guess what? He's there. He's there. And I learned this. I learned this through one of my coaches when I played basketball in college. I was lucky enough to get recruited to play basketball in college. And here's the thing about recruitment. When you go on the recruiting process, when you actually get an invitation and you go out, you go to the gym and all the other recruits are there and all the other basketball players are there that played previous years. And you know what you get to do for like 2-3 hours? Play basketball. It's awesome. And they suck you in. And so I remember going on a recruiting trip and I'm playing and this is awesome, man. I love playing. Playing college basketball is going to be the best, you know. And I'm thinking about, man, all of the things I'm going to do on the court with my fadeaway jump shot, right? I'm thinking about driving to the hole, you know. I'm not thinking about defense at all. Come on, somebody. I'm just thinking about scoring, right? I'm just thinking basketball is awesome. And I'll never forget, man, showing up for day one of practices in college. I show up and there we are. And coach is like, okay, let's head out to the track. I'm like, all right, warm up, perfect. Let's head out to the track. We get out to the track. He's like, start running. All right, yeah. No, I said run. I didn't say jog. Okay. Is that all you got, Brinkman? Yeah, actually it is. You know, I'm running. We're running. And we're running. And we're still running. Like 120 minutes later, blows the whistle. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. We're done. Okay. Next day, show up. Let's head to the weight room. Oh, yeah, cool. 120 minutes later. All right, see you guys tomorrow. For 8 weeks, we did nothing but run and lift weights. One of the guys finally came to coach and said, hey, coach, is this basketball? So what do you mean, is this basketball? Yeah, this is basketball. Because you know what? A great coach understands something. A great coach understands that if you say, oh, you're all about basketball, you want basketball? What you're really saying is you're all about running. Because when you get on that court, you're going to be running. And if you say, oh, man, I love basketball. Basketball's my thing, coach. Like, it is my thing. All right. And then lifting weights is your thing. Because when you get on that court, people are going to be banging you around. And it wasn't until the first game that we finally understood that coach knew what he was talking about. Come on, somebody. Right? Do you know that we have the best coach in God the Father? That he knows, man, he knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it. And he is going to let you go through some things. He's going to let you walk out some things. Because here's the thing. I think all of us in here have dreams. We have ambitions. And if we looked at our present moment, a lot of our present moments right now don't look like what we dreamed. If we looked at our present marriage right now, when I said I do, I don't know if I said I do to this. Right? Are you with me? Like that job that you are going to just be owning one day, like this is it. And you're in your present moment, you're like, this is not what I thought I signed up for, right? But here's what you begin to learn. Listen, man, if you are called to that, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is who you are. And this is like, that's me. That's it. There's a lot of things that it takes to get us there and to sustain it. But here's the other thing Coach understood. Coach understood that there are only like 30 basketball games, right? In other words, you don't live in mountaintop experiences. You don't live there. No, those are mountaintop experiences for a reason, right? And see, I think Elijah has forgotten that. Here is Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in this moment. Mountaintop experiences. This is awesome. This is great. I'm content with this. This is good. See, the thing is if we just think we live from mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience, we are going to live a disappointed life. We have got to learn to be content, like Paul said, in every circumstance, in every situation. Here's the problem with mountaintop experiences. We forget about the climb that it took to get us there. We get there and we're like, woo! Awesome! And this, I mean, we go back and we celebrate that, we talk about it. And we so quickly forget about all of the work it took to get there. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I can prove this. Case in point, how many moms do we have out there? Any moms? All right. How many of the moms, you've had more than one child? Yeah, you forgot, right? Case in point. I mean, I've been told childbearing is very painful. And it's like you have a child, and it's just like, that was the most excruciating thing ever. I mean, like, literally, I mean, your wife is chucking things at you. You know, you're with me, right? Give me the medicine. Give me more. We already gave it to you. No, you give me more. Right? And then, like you get, and all of a sudden the promise is there. You're like, oh, beautiful baby. And then you go through, what? Like 9, 10, 12 weeks of sleeplessness. Right? But somewhere about, I don't know, 18 months in, somehow that memory's just gone. And she looks over and says, let's have another one. Well, we got as many as you want. We just forget, right? I think Elijah forgot what it is to be content in every circumstance, in every situation. But here's the reality. I think that we too forget, but God is so gracious that he allows us to go through these basics. See, my coach knew, hey, Ben, you're going to be running a lot. Let's run now, right? See, I think God in his sovereignty is so good to us that he allows us to enjoy and appreciate and love those mountaintop experiences, but yet he wants us to learn something in the present moments. And he wants us to learn this thing called being content. And Paul said it. I've learned it. So let me just give you a few things that I've learned in my life that I believe will help you become content with no matter what your story looks like. The first one is remember the basics. Remember the basics. Pastor, that's so basic. I know. So simple. I know it is. But we so often forget the basics. See, my coach remembered the basics. He's like, hey, you're going to be running a lot. And so we're going to run a lot. Get you ready. We've got to remember the basics. See, I think Elijah forgot the basics. And that's why one of the very first things, I mean, look how God shows up to him. I mean, here is Elijah, mountaintop experience, right? And he's riding high on the world. Things are going good. Now he's in the lowest moment, so low that he actually prays a prayer. God, just take my life. Just end it. And when God shows up, listen to what he says. Hey, Elijah, what are you doing? And what does Elijah do? Oh, man, you don't understand it. Life is bad. This is what's happening. Nothing's going right. I am the only one left. God doesn't even answer him. Right? He says this. He says, you know what, Elijah? I need to remind you a few things real quickly. So I want you to do, I just want you to go out and I want you to check this out. And so the Bible says that wind comes, right? And Elijah's like, whoa, so much, things are shaking. But listen to what the Bible says. But the Bible says, but he wasn't in that. Oh, okay, that wasn't him, all right? Earthquake. Things are rumbling. He's like, oh, that wasn't him either. Then the Bible says, next the fire. Certainly this is going to be him because, I mean, just literally days ago, he consumed. I mean, I dumped that water all over that thing. It was epic. It was so awesome. This is God. Oh, no, that wasn't him either. Listen to what it says. And then this small voice, this still voice comes. And then he steps out, raps, remember the story? And then God begins to speak. It wasn't in this big earthquake moment. It wasn't in this big wind moment. It wasn't in this big fire moment. I think he threw fire in there intentionally, reminding Elijah, hey, Elijah, remember back then when I showed up in fire? Guess what? I don't always show up in the mountaintop experiences. It says this, it says that, and here's what you got to catch. It says in that still voice, that still moment, that word still in the original context is this word demama, and it means to still yourself, to be quiet. And then in that, you hear him speak. But you know what? Elijah was a lot like us. We want the big mountaintop moments in life, in our spiritual journey. Like we want like every day to be like Canvas Sunday morning, right? Like if I could wake up and the band was just like, good morning, woohoo, right? Get up and praise Jesus. You guys didn't know I had range like that, huh? I got talents you know not of, right? They're just going for like that would be awesome. Like, you know, right? But what about these small moments where we just, you know what, you know, I just need to learn to quiet myself and just be still, because here's the thing, God never stops speaking. But yet so oftentimes we want these earthquake moments. We want these wind moments. We want the fire. Okay, I'll just talk from my perspective. Pastor wants those. Like, I want every second planned out on Sunday morning to where, okay, earthquake here, wind here, fire. Wind it up again, man. Wind it up again. Right? No, we need some more fire. I love those moments. That's me. That's your pastor. I love them. Sunday morning, like, it's like, yes. Man, the wind of worship is powerful today. Did you hear when they opened that song and it was, oh, and you were like, ah, right? And then, man, the earthquake that Pastor Ben preaches. Oh, and then the fire when I come up and get prayed for, or at the coffee bar, either way. Right? We love those moments, but whatever happened, I just got to be quiet. Be still. Because can I be honest with you? Most of your life is going to be lived in those moments. Where I just quiet myself, just get my Bible, and just read. And as I'm doing that, I hear his voice speaking to me. But Pastor, I just really hear it when you preach. I know. I told you he was a man just like me, right? Like... Oh, I know. I got you next week. Don't worry. Right? But what if we could get to those moments where we just, no band, just me, God, and he speaks. Where do I start, Pastor? Just do the basics. What is that? Just be quiet. Elijah, zip it. Just listen. Well, where do I start reading? I mean, it's all good. But I mean, you can start. Proverbs is good. Psalms is good. John's got, I mean, it's a great book. Right? There's just some, just read. And allow him to speak to you. We got to get the basics. The basics. We're always looking for these mountaintop experiences, but he reminds Elijah, hey, Elijah, it's not about that. You'll have them. Could you just be present, be still, and hear my voice? You know, this principle, because it's a great principle, not only works in your spiritual journey, but works in every area of your life. If you just do the basics, right? Like if you just actually showed up to work on time. Whoa! I mean, that's amazing. Like, if you actually just showed up at work on time and you actually did the work you're getting paid to do. Right, not the 3 hours you're spending surfing, you know, the net and checking out Amazon and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, whatever, you know. But you actually just did the work. Like, you just showed up. Like, just did the basics and actually did your job and showed up on time. And you know what? That would be incredible, right? I don't know where it's gotten in our society that we think we deserve something more if we work harder, right? Like, man, I worked really hard this year. I hope I get a Christmas bonus. Didn't he hire you to do a job and work hard? Like, it wasn't like, are you going to work hard or not? I think employers just hire you expecting you to do the job, but yet then we get all Elijah syndrome. I am the only one. All of the other employees, they left you. But I I've worked really hard and I deserve a bonus. No, you deserve a paycheck, which you got. It's getting quiet in here right now. People are going to be showing up early tomorrow to work. Boss is going to offer you a bonus. You're like, no, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. No, just tithe it to Canvas. Come on, somebody, right? What about in your marriage? Oh, maybe I touched on something. Right? And this is good whether you're single or whether you're married or whether you're a young person. What about just doing the basics in marriage? Like what? Like conversation, communication. Good morning. Beautiful. Well, hello to you too, handsome. Right? What about just, at least that's the way my conversations go with my wife in the morning, but what about just conversations? Communication. It's a basic. It's really a basic life skill for everything. But like in your marriage, it's essential. What about just talking? Communicating. Like, hey, you know what? You did something and that really upset me. We can do that. Yeah, it's called a marriage. You should do it. Your marriage would grow because of it. What about the basics of love? Oh. Well, we could really go really basic and look at the scriptures. Men, where in Ephesians it says, hey, guys, when you get married, die. That's my translation. It says, hey, when you get married, lay down your life for your wife. But then everybody does say that. Like Christ laid down his life for the church. Oh, man. You were pretty decrepit when Jesus saved you. Not like you were worthy of being saved. Yeah, because she ain't worthy. So I'm laying down my life right now. What? Now you're acting like Elijah again. Right? What about marriage? I mean, what if we just did the basics? You know, forgiveness? You'll have plenty of opportunity to practice that. Ask my wife. She knows. She's been with me for 20 years. And I've had to forgive her. So I'm just kidding. I didn't do that one in the first service because you weren't in here. So I didn't think that'd be fair. So, yeah. But what about the basics, guys? It works in every area. I need to move because it's over. I got 3 minutes. All right. Remember the basics. Number two, remember who's in charge. Remember who's in charge. I think Elijah had forgotten this. He'd forgotten who's in charge. I think it probably started actually on his mountaintop experience when he's like, ha-ha! Where is he at? Is he on a journey? Well, is he on vacation? Maybe he's sleeping. Right? Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? Okay. Hear through whatever filter you want to hear. That's what I see. And then when it comes to his time, it's like, you know what? The altar is repaired and it's got everything on it, but that's just not good enough. We're going to pour some water on it, some more. I think he started to forget because he didn't even add himself into the equation. The God, he's Yahweh. And I, hey, just real quick, I'm his only prophet. Yeah? All right, we got that clear? All right, watch this. I'm so glad that the Bible says that his gifts are without repentance. I'm so glad that God works in spite of us. Because if it was like, we're jacked, right? I'm so glad that God shows up even in those moments when we're like, hey, it's just me and you, God. Look what he says. This is what he goes through this whole process with him. And he says this, he said, I've got 7,000 more of you. I didn't have to use you. I got more just like you that have never betrayed me, never left me. So you're not just going to get off your high horse, Elijah, and remember who's in charge. Listen, this has been another thing I've learned. I've had to remember who's in charge in the process of building this church and doing my part of building this church and being the lead pastor of this church. I've had him come several times and say, hey, Ben, remember who's in charge. And you know what really usually happens? It usually happens after the mountaintop experiences. right? For me, that's like, I mean, Sunday was awesome. I mean, my preaching was epic, right? I mean, we need to work with the band a little bit, but those tech guys, not sure what went wrong there. And where are all the small group leaders not fellowshipping with people in the lobby? Why aren't there more people sitting in the chairs? Right? But man, I crushed it. Awesome. So good. God shows up. I got tons more just like you. You're replaceable. Whatever. Right? Not only do I have tons more, I have tons more like you, just like on your staff. Nope. Right? And he reminds me, hey, Ben, I'm in charge. I think things would go a lot better if we just remembered that he's in charge. I think life would go a lot easier. It's easy on the mountaintop experience, right? But when you're in the present moments of pain, the present moments of discouragement, the present moments of disappointment, the present moments of this doesn't quite look like what I signed up for. This isn't really what I had this idea that I was going to be doing this. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. In those moments, know this, he's the same God sitting on the throne in that moment as he was when you were on your mountaintop. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing surprises him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, the same time he's sitting on the throne in heaven when you're on your mountaintop, and he's sitting on the throne when you're going through your most discouraging, despairing moments. He's there. Nothing catches him off guard. See, the problem isn't that we're walking through something discouraging. The problem becomes when we take our eyes off him and we stop believing that he's still on the throne. But he is there. He is there and nothing catches him off guard. Nothing surprises him. He's got this. He's got you. He's got a plan and a purpose. You've just got to hold on in your present moment so you can begin to see the promise. Amen. And lastly, we'll close and band, you can come. We got to remember to celebrate. We got to remember to celebrate. We got to remember this because here's the thing. I think Elijah stopped celebrating. What do I mean by I don't mean like party. Like, hey, we're going to party now. This happened. Great. I'm talking about praise. We need to remember to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to remember to celebrate the fact that he is God. He is on the throne. He is worthy of our praise. We begin to be a little bit more like Paul. In whatever circumstance or situation I find myself in, I'm learning to be content. I'm learning it. I mean, Paul had some things to say about this. In Acts chapter 16, Paul finds himself in prison, learning how to be content. He's learning. He's sitting there in shackles and in chains, the Bible says. And as he's sitting there in shackles and in chains, Silas is with him. They begin to worship. They begin to praise. They begin to sing. Man, what would happen? Because in that moment, in those moments, listen, man, it's easy to sing when you're on the mountaintop. Is somebody getting something out of this today? It's easy to celebrate when, man, everything's awesome and going wonderful. But when you find yourself in those despairing moments, the only thing that changes is your perspective. But if we can keep a perspective that is set on him, he's the same God. He's the same God that did it for me on the mountaintop. He's the same God I'm serving right now in the despairing moment of my life. And I find myself there singing to him, worshiping him, celebrating the King of Kings. And we can get to that place, man, where we are just, man, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, I'm going to bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. It looks bad right now. It looks like it's over right now, but I'm going to bless the Lord. It looks like this present moment isn't what I signed up for, but I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to celebrate him. I'm going to honor him because he's the same yesterday. Hallelujah. There's somebody here that needs to hear that this morning. There's somebody here right now that you are walking through a moment of discouragement. You are walking through a moment of despair, but you just need to begin to lift up your eyes and bless the Lord and be reminded as you do the basics, as you begin to honor and worship him, man, he's going to work it out. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Just stand here. your feet as we bring this service to a close. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.